On this Mother's Day, this Mother's Day, we have a lot of stories of mothers and the influence that they have in our life. Every one of you and the influence you've had in your children, your grandchildren. And this morning, we're going to be looking at several mothers of influence. But we want to look and hear the story of a mother and her story. Well, it's not working, so we'll forget it. Okay. Let's go to the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. As we, on this Mother's Day, hear lessons from our mother and things that mother have taught us as we honor our mothers this morning. Hearing the story in 2 Timothy chapter 1 of a young man named Timothy, who was a young pastor, disciple, and friend, traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. And here he was assigned as a pastor to the church at Ephesus. Paul was writing to give him instruction as a pastor on how to lead well. And Paul says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded that now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Here into reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the women of influence in our life that have taught us not only things of living, but taught us, most importantly, the faith and your word and how to be a follower of you. So, Father, as we look into your word again this morning, and we look at the lives of women who have been influential and what we can learn from them, I pray, Lord, that you would teach us and we'd all continue to learn deeper how to follow you more faithfully and more deeply. And Lord, speak to us through your word this morning and encourage us with the lessons and the truth that you have for us today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Mothers teach a lot of things. And during this past year with COVID, a lot of mothers not only had to be mothers, but they had to be educators. And they had to learn how to teach their children a lot of different subjects with school not being held in the classroom. And a lot of mothers became teachers of their children at home. But mothers teach us a lot. They teach us the basics of life, teach us the deeper things and how to follow after the Lord and the Word of God. And you've been taught by your mother, and you've taught that onto your children and grandchildren as well. But just come across some funny things that mothers have taught over the years. And mothers teach religion, and that here's a statement they say, you better pray that that stain comes out of the carpet. Mothers teach foresight. And my mother has said this one many times, that make sure you wear clean underwear just in case you're in an accident. Maybe you said that or you've heard that one. I've heard that one many times from my mom. Mothers teach medicine. Like if you cross your eyes too long, they're going to stay like that. Mothers teach irony by saying, keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. Mothers teach stamina with statements such as, you sit there until all that spinach is finished. My mother used to make me do that, you know, sit there until my plate was empty. Dreamy, you're shaking your head. Yeah, you had that with your mother. Mothers teach the weather with statements such as, it looks as if a tornado swept through this room. Mothers teach the circle of life with saying, I brought you into this world, I can take you out of it. You're shaking your head. Yeah, you've said that one. Maybe you've heard it. Some of the mothers are, yeah, I've heard that one. And mothers teach behavioral modification, saying things like stop acting like your father. But they teach a lot of things. And And you and I have been blessed by the mothers in our life, by what our mothers have taught us and what the lessons you've learned. But many people have been blessed by what we learned at our mother's knee. From a small child up, as a mother held us, giving us those very lessons about life and about the Word of God. A lot of what we learned in Scripture maybe came from my mother, maybe yours as well, and you passed that on. But you've heard, we've all heard of John and Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley wrote a lot of beautiful hymns. We still sing some of them today. Their names probably would not have been known, and they would not have probably made the impact they did for the word of God and for the kingdom had it not been for a godly mother who taught them some valuable lessons as a child. Susanna Wesley was their mother, and she would spend 1 hour each day praying for all 17 of her children. How she did that, I don't know. There's only 24 hours in a day. But she'd spend 1 hour praying for each of them, 17. I don't know how she would do it. In addition, she took each child aside for a full hour every week to discuss spiritual matters with them. No wonder John and Charles Wesley were used to God's blessing and were used by God to bring blessing around the world. Here are a few of the rules that she taught her children in training them. She taught them things such as subdue self-will in a child and work together with God. Teach your child to pray as soon as he can speak, she taught them. As soon as they could speak, she taught them how to pray. Wow. Then she said, give him nothing to cry that he cries for and only what is good for him, was one of her lessons, if he asked for it politely. To prevent lying, punish no fault that is freely confessed, but never allow rebellious sinful act to go unchecked. And then command and reward good behavior and strictly observe all the promises that you have made to your child. Just some of the things that Susanna had taught her children and some of the lessons that they had learned from their mother. And I'm sure that if we took the time this morning, every one of you could share some of the lessons your mother taught you. Or maybe some of the things you passed on to your children and grandchildren as a mother or as a great-grandmother. But today we want to look at the Word of God. We want to see together some of the lessons that we can learn from mothers of Scripture. Timothy, who had been a young man of the Lord, who had been a follower of the Lord and had been a young pastor, had been learned from his mother and grandmother the faith. Timothy came from a mixed home, if you know anything about his background. His mother was Jew, and his father was Greek, so he had a mixed background. He was kind of two different cultures being raised. But both his mother and grandmother were devout believers in the Lord, and they had taught him what it meant to follow and to love Christ. And he grew up with that training. And then when he met the Apostle Paul, he came to know the Lord, and he began to follow and travel with Paul. And the Lord used him mightily as a pastor. And he learned a lot of lessons from his mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, and what it meant to follow the Lord. Paul was here writing to encourage them and said, remember the faith and what you had been taught by your parents, by your mother and grandmother. Remember that and to put it into practice and live it in your life. Take those principles and those lessons and let them be the foundation and guide of your life. And he said, don't be timid, don't be afraid, but follow what you had been taught. This morning, we want to look into the lives of several women in Scripture. And there's a lot we could have picked, but I just picked seven, and we're going to look at them briefly, of what these women can teach us and lessons from our lives of different mothers in Scripture. First, we want to go all the way back to the beginning, and that's Eve. And I believe if Eve could teach us something this morning, and there's a lot we could learn from her life, but I believe one of the things she could teach us is simply this, be content with what you have. Because God had placed Adam and Eve in the garden of perfection. Everything was right. Everything was perfect for them. And when I read over Genesis chapter 3, if you read that chapter, God says you are free to eat everything you want in the garden except for one tree. And that one tree, don't eat of it, or even don't eat of that, but you're free to enjoy all that I have provided for you. And God provided everything they ever needed. And they were free to enjoy it. They were free to see God's presence and live in perfection. We can't imagine what that was like, to see God face to face and enjoy that. But then Satan came into the garden and he distracted her. And he said, God is holding back on you. See that one tree right there? He's not letting you eat of that one. He's restricting you. And Eve wasn't content with what she had. She had all the blessing of God she ever needed, and Satan focused her attention on the one thing she couldn't have. And she knew the story, she took of it, and she ate, and all of us have suffered the consequences since. I believe Eve would tell us, from her lesson that she learned, is be content with what you have. Don't covet something, but be thankful for the blessings God's given. And that's a good lesson for all of us to learn to live by, isn't it? To be content with what we have. Paul taught that as well. He said, I know what it is to have a lot. I know what it is to have a little. But whatever it is, I'm thankful. And God's blessed me and given it to me. And a great lesson for us to pass on to the generations follow us and for us to live by now. Be content. We learn that from Eve. The next mother we will look at is Sarah. In Genesis chapter 16, you find her story, verses 1 to 6. And God had said to Abraham and Sarah, they were going to have a child of their own. And time had passed. It was 75 when God had given that promise to them. And time had passed. And now years had passed. And Sarah and Abraham were getting tired of waiting. And they thought, when is this child that God promised me going to be born? Sarah was getting older. And her body was aging, and as she was getting older, she said, my days of childbearing are wearing out, or well past time, and she was barren. She was unable to conceive, and she thought, this isn't going to happen. So she thought, we need to help God out. And so they came up with a plan and said to Abraham, take my servant Hagar and have a child through her. And maybe that's the way God will bring the child of the blessing. We know the story. We know what happened. That ended up being disastrous. And when Hagar conceived, then she began to have enmity between Sarah. And Sarah drove her away, and a whole lot of conflict was resolved out of that. And Sarah would teach us, don't run ahead of the Lord. She had learned, wait on God's timing. God doesn't, don't run ahead of him, but just wait. Finally, 25 years of waiting, when Sarah was now 90, Isaac was finally born. And she had learned, don't run ahead of the Lord. Don't rush him. Wait on his timing. His timing is perfect. He knows exactly what he's doing. But so often, I confess to you, I like to run ahead of God. I don't know about you. I like God to answer things now. Do you? We want him to do it at our timing. And he says, wait on me. My timing is perfect. Good lesson for us to learn to live by. The capture is a principle, practical lesson. Teach on to your children, grandchildren, for all of us. Don't run ahead of God, but wait on him. He knows what he's doing. Then Rahab this morning has a lesson to teach us. Rahab's story is found in book of Joshua chapter 2, especially when Israel was coming into the land of promise after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and they came to the city of Jericho. Joshua sent two spies to check out the city of Jericho and bring a report back. When they did, they arrived in the city. They were welcomed into Rahab's home. Rahab saved their life and sent them out and hid them from those in authority and sent them out, sent them back safely. And because of that, in her faith, she was saved. And from Rahab, we would learn, don't be afraid to take a stand because it cost her something. She had courage. She had courage to act boldly, and to take a stand and put herself even in risk if she had to, because she knew what she was doing was right. And today, we need to have that same boldness that Rahab had of not being afraid to take a stand, not being afraid to do what's right, even when it puts us, and who knows what it was going to cost her. But she was saved, and she was spared, as you know the story. But taking that stand, having courage, having boldness. One of the greatest things you can teach your children and grandchildren these days is having that courage to take a stand for Christ. Take a stand on his word and not compromise and not give in. Then from Ruth, we learn her lesson is to trust God for all your needs. Ruth's story, she was a Moabite woman. If you know her story from the book of Ruth, she was a Moabite woman who lost her husband. and her sister-in-law as well lost her husband, and her mother-in-law Naomi lost her husband. All three of them were left as widows. To be widowed in the time of Scripture, in Bible times, was a really dire situation because they were in a totally helpless situation. If a person was widowed with no children and none of them had any children to care for them, they were completely destitute, completely on their own, with no one to care for them. And Naomi decides she was going to return back to Bethlehem, her home. And Ruth, her daughter-in-law, says, "I will go with you." And we read in Ruth chapter 1, verses 11 to 16. She says, "Your God will be my God. My people, your people will be my people." And she said, "I am going to trust the Lord." And Ruth trusted the Lord for her future and all she needed into the hands of God. You know the story. She went back to Bethlehem. She met a man named Boaz as she was gleaning out in the fields. And as she was going there getting grain for the family, and she was in the field, and she met a man named Boaz who eventually married her and provided. And God provided for her. But she had learned, "I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to put my hands, my future, my whole life into His hands and rely on Him." Good lesson for us is to trust Him with our needs, because He will provide. Naomi, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Lord has, I have bitterness." But Ruth had taught Naomi as well the importance of, we're just going to trust God. And God provided. God took care of them. Another mother from Scripture we can learn from is Hannah. Hannah, another one like Ruth, like Sarah, had no children and was unable to conceive. And her husband, Elkanah, loved her dearly, but she was unable to conceive. And every year they would go up to the temple, the tabernacle, and they would offer a sacrifice there. Well, Elkanah, her husband, had another wife, and his name was Peniah. Her name was Peniah, and she used to always ridicule Hannah for not having any children and saying, "You don't have God's blessing." And she used to ridicule it to the point brought her to tears. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 20 tells us her story, that one day as they were going up to the temple at Shiloh, she poured out her heart to the Lord in prayer. And with fervency, she prayed and she wept before the Lord, and she shared her burden with the Lord. And the Lord said through Eli the prophet, "He has heard your prayer and He has answered." And we know the story. Samuel was born, and Samuel became the last judge and a great prophet of God. But Hannah would teach us, take your burdens to the Lord in prayer and pour them out before Him. And whatever is a burden on your heart is a burden to the Lord. About a month or so ago, we went down to the Red Caboose and we prayed. They want us to come down and to dedicate the property there to the Lord. And some of the people's concerns I asked what their prayer request was, and they had prayed, and we prayed over that. But some people have the concern that I don't want to bother the Lord with a little concern on my heart. And I like to remind people that whatever is a burden to you is a burden to God. And if it's a concern to you, it's a concern to Him. And we all carry concerns and burdens. Sometimes they're major, sometimes they're minor, sometimes they're things that we don't think maybe don't feel all that important, but you know it, it's important to God because it's important to you, right? And we carry those burdens with us around, and Hannah teaches us, take them to the Lord in prayer and bring them there, because He will hear and He will answer and He'll respond in His will and His time and His way. We carry those burdens ourselves when we get pressed down with them, and then sometimes maybe you haven't done this, but I've done this. I take the burden to the Lord, and then I bring it there, and then I pick it up and carry it again. Have you ever done that? Pick it up and carry it, put it on your shoulder again instead of just leaving it there. And it's hard for us to do that. But just take it, throw it on the Lord, leave it before Him, cast our cares on Him, because He cares for us. Esther. Another woman in Scripture we can learn about, another mother of Scripture. Great story of Esther. There's a lot we can learn from her. But I want to focus on one lesson from her life that she would teach us, and that is that real beauty comes from within. If you know Esther's story, Queen Vashti was the queen of Persia. And whenever King Xerxes had asked for her to come to a banquet, he wanted to show her off in front of all his drunken guys at a big party, and she refused to come. It got his anger, and he banished her. And then he had to look for a new queen. He said, what am I going to do? And so he had to find a new queen. So he had all the women brought into a harem, all the single women put into a harem, and from that he was going to pick a new queen. And Esther had been put into that group. And the scripture tells us that for a year, 12 months, they were given beauty treatments. They were given the best beauty treatments of Persia that they had to offer at the time. All the cosmetics, all the beauty treatments that they had. And after 12 months, they would be brought in before the king, and the king would decide who would be the new queen. And at the end of that chapter, it says that he looked at Esther and he was pleased. And she, her beauty, and he chose Esther. But it wasn't her outer beauty that shone through. It was the inner beauty of her character and of her love for the Lord. That later on, you would know her story, how she courageously took a stand. But she would tell us the real beauty comes from within. Our inner character is what's important. Who we are inside, because God doesn't look at the outside. What's he look at? The heart. He looks at the inside to see our character. And when people look at you and I, do they see the beauty of Jesus? Do they see the fragrance of Jesus being given off? That's really what matters. Peter reminded us of that as well, as he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 16. He says that our adornment, he's talking to the women, he said, your adornment should not come from braided hair and from clothes and from outer adornment, but from the inner beauty of a Christ-like spirit. He said, that's how the women of old made themselves beautiful. And that's a lesson that we need to learn. A lot of people can get caught up in fixing up the outer, but really it's the inner that matters. That's where real beauty comes. Going to the New Testament, a mother named Dorcas. We read about her story in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 42. Dorcas was a lady who was a member of the church, and not much is known about her except this one incident, also known as Tabitha. And she had a gift, and she was a seamstress, and she would sew clothes. And she would sew clothes and give them to people in need. Well, it said that she had died, and Peter came to the church, and they were weeping because she had died. And Peter restored her and raised her back to life again through the power of the Lord. But through Dorcas, we learn her lesson is use whatever gift God's given you to serve others. For Dorcas, it was sewing. She was a seamstress. And she used that gift. And it says in Acts that many of the people showed all the clothes that she had made. She would give them to people in need. And that was how the Lord had blessed her and used her. And whatever gift God has given you, he's given it to you for you to use for him, to serve others for his glory, not to hold on to it, not to hoard it for ourselves, but to use it for his glory. What gift is it that you have? Use it for him, for his glory, for his majesty. A lot of things that we learn, a lot of lessons that we can learn from our mothers. These are just a few of what we can learn from Scripture through some of the women of faith gone before us. Deuteronomy 6 says, for the parents, the God has entrusted you the responsibility of taking the word of God and trusting it into your children's lives and into your grandchildren's lives, and talk about it when you're on the road and when you're at home or wherever you are, and instill the lessons, not only of living, which we need to know, of how to handle money and finances and all that, those are important. But most importantly, those lessons of faith get passed on through the Word of God and through our example, through living. So today we honor you, mothers, all the lessons you've taught us, and grandmothers as well. as you continue to teach the generations behind us. But may we take the lessons of the Word of God and those who have gone before us and learn from them and live them out in our life each and every day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the examples of women of faith. We don't talk enough about the women of faith and the influence that women have had in our lives. But we wouldn't be where we are if it hadn't been for a lot of the women in our lives. Our mothers, our grandmothers, women in the churches, our Sunday school teachers, our youth leaders, women, Lord, who have had a profound influence on our life that helped shape us and make us who we are. A lot of the lessons that they have taught us over the years. We thank you, Lord, for their example. I thank you for every mother and grandmother here today, and their fathers and men as well. Lord, that may our lives be an example to those behind us, that the lessons that we have taught we can pass on to others, that they too can learn from the mistakes we've made, from the good things we've done, that what you've taught us as we walk through life. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons in the Word of God that are practical, that teach us every practical life for living, that those who have gone on before us serve as that example. So, Lord, may your beauty, may your grace be seen in us, thanking you, Lord, for your blessing, for your grace, your love. We thank you again for all the women in our life, for our families, for our homes, and I pray for each one here today. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is a prayer that God would make all of our lives a blessing. The mothers in our lives, the grandmothers, not just the women, that all of our lives would be a blessing to others, just as Dorcas was, using the gift that she had to be a blessing to others. That's our prayer. Make us a blessing.